Speaker Zero.
Education isn't the same everywhere. While you probably realize this on some level, chances are that you've never really thought about just how different it can be in other countries. While experiences may vary even within an individual country's school system, one thing all American students are very familiar with is standardized testing. While all schools administer tests at some point or the other, their number differs vastly between schools and school systems. My guests will give you a glimpse of what school looks like elsewhere in the world.
Speaker 1. Elementary students in Finland spend around 75 minutes at recess, compared to just 27 minutes for American children. The thinking goes, children don't learn if they don't play, so they have to play, every day, even if it's cold. Finland is internationally recognized as a model for progressive educational philosophies, and the general rule of thumb is 15 minutes of recess per hour of work. Play is considered more important than homework. Finland quickly rose up the PISA test score chart over the past few decades, which is why American schools are now trying to emulate their methods. In significant contrast to American schools, Finnish students don't take standardized tests until they graduate from high school. Teachers are also held in incredibly high regard. And that's really how it should be, since the right teacher truly has the power to change a child's life, if you ask me. Speaker 2.
I grew up in the Philippines and attended a somewhat rural school in which grades 1 to 6 were together in one classroom. The groupings in the class were based entirely on intellect, with the smart kids in group 1 and those who were not so good at school in group 6, with descending levels between. While it worked well because I wasn't competing with people who weren't at my level, I would have felt dumb if I had been placed in the lowest group. We all went home for lunch, which was about a 5-minute walk, and enjoyed snacks packed by our mothers during recess, where we also played hopscotch and similar games. In terms of classes, some were taught in English and some in Tagalog. While most students knew English after a few years, they didn't practice it often. There were also large holiday celebrations at school, including gift exchanges at Christmas and festivals and parades in the spring. Also, there are 2 shifts of schooling in many schools in the Philippines, with one starting quite early, between 6 and 7 a.m., and the other starting after lunch. The schedule is an attempt to solve the problem of overcrowding and the lack of space due to poverty in the country. Teachers frequently have to deal with 65 children at a time, and sometimes there aren't enough chairs or desks for everyone. While the rich can send their children to private institutions with air conditioning and computers, rural public schools often have to make do without reliable electricity, and classes are sometimes held outside or in the stairwell, so these 2 types of schooling are vastly different.
Speaker 3.
I have been a high school teacher in the United Kingdom for 8 years, and schools typically begin between 8:45 and 9 a.m. One school in London even moved back to a 10 a.m. start time after research showed that students learn better later in the morning. Once they get to school, students refer to teachers as Sir or Miss, which feels a bit odd. Most male teachers have never been knighted by the Queen, and married female teachers don't usually go by the name Miss, but teachers are never called by their first name because we are English. Therefore, we do lots of pointless things, because the powers that be fear anything that we didn't do in the days of the British Empire. Sadly, high fives, fist bumps, and one-on-one dance greetings are not prevalent in classrooms, apart from my classroom.
Speaker 4. Across multiple standardized test models, Singapore students have been labeled the smartest. The country's traditional lecture-based learning process boasts major success, but it also has kids taking life-changing tests as early as primary school. Students have already been tracked into lower and higher achieving brackets by age 12. Movements are underway to remake the education system to de-emphasize grades and reprioritize skill-ready future employees. The aim is to provide students with greater choice to meet their different interests and ways of learning. Being able to choose what and how they learn will encourage them to take greater ownership of their learning. Speaker 5.
In Thailand, for example, students typically sit at desks with other students rather than individually, and group learning is considered productive and effective. Surprisingly, students may often be on their phones or even answer phone calls in class. There is a lot of talking while class is in session. It may appear disorderly or chaotic to Americans, but this works in Thailand. And this behavior shouldn't be confused with disrespect, as the country holds the teachers in very high esteem. There's even a special ceremony for teachers on a national holiday called Wai Kru, when students provide them with flowers in alignment with the hierarchical culture there. Another notable difference is that students do not wear shoes in the classroom and even some hallways. There is a uniform in most schools. Boys are required to have certain haircuts. In the morning before school at the beginning of the year, you can hear teachers shaving boys' heads who don't meet the requirements. Plus, sports are less of an ongoing daily occurrence in high schools. Instead, there are specific days in which schools compete in a variety of events with little training ahead of time.
Speaker 6.
In the United Arab Emirates, many schools are segregated by gender, and social norms for how a male teacher is allowed to interact with a female student are quite rigid. A casual relationship is not seen as culturally appropriate in Islamic countries, so there tends to be a more formal and professional relationship between teachers and students. When it comes to career paths, parents tend to encourage things like law, business, medicine, and engineering over the arts, humanities, and teaching. Maybe that isn't all that different from some parents in the States, but there is a different expectation in terms of how children follow those directives. Therefore, learning how to encourage students to follow their passions while also being respectful to the parents' expectations is difficult.